Blog Talk Radio.
Under the Lord's wings. God bless you, saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That great hymn, Under His Wings, under God's protection, under God's faithful care, under God's vigilance. He who keeps you, he who watches over you, never slumbers nor sleeps. What a blessed hope we have that during our pilgrimage here on earth, we are under his wings. When I was a young boy on the homestead, there were times when a mother hen had anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 little chickadees, little chicks. And a predator would come out of the brush. On the island of Puerto Rico, we have a predator called a mongoose. And they were not original to Puerto Rico. They were introduced to Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico, in its early days, had a big snake problem. And we do know that in other countries, the mongoose is a champion of snakes, can defeat snakes easily. So the Puerto Rican government brought over mongooses to deal with the snake issue. And then over time, all the snakes were gone and the mongooses had nothing to eat, so they started to attack hens and their chickadees. And I remember one time I saw a hen, and she had some chicks, and she became alarmed, and she began to cackle and make her motherly sounds, and the chicks ran under her legs. And she brought in out her wings, and lo and behold, there was a mongoose. And boy, did that mother hen protect those little chicks. The mongoose took none to those little chicks who were under her wings. And that's how I know, how I can relate life, danger, predator, the enemy of our souls coming against us, but we are under God's merciful wing. Praise the Lord. Well, we're here in Exodus 23, 25, and 26. Today we're going to be looking at the last verse, verse 26. Our series this week has been entitled, Serve God, and He will add and take away. Serve God, and He will add and take away. Verse 25 reads, And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and bless thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And verse 26 reads, There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill, saith God. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we worship thee, O Lord, and we thank you for the song, We Are Under Your Wings, and for the imagery of the mother hen protecting her little chicks from a desperate, dangerous, unrelenting, unforgiving mongoose predator. Bless us, O Lord, as we consider how in our earthly pilgrimage you protect us from all harm and danger. Bless us today, Lord, as we consider this last phrase, as we consider verse 26 and how it applies to us. Bless us, Lord. Bless your people. Holy Spirit, move in our hearts. Remove all doubt. Remove any doubt that we may have in our hearts that God can perform what His Word promises. Holy Spirit, give us the faith to believe that what God has spoken in His Word, He shall bring it to pass. Bless us, Holy Spirit. Make us more like Jesus. Make us a people of prayer, a people of the word, we pray, a people of holiness. For how can we claim to be the temple of the Holy Spirit and not be holy? Be ye holy, saith the Lord, for I am holy. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. We're looking at this phrase that says, There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. We have two pictures in this section. The section is, of course, is in blue. We have two pictures. There's a picture of a family at the family picnic, and there's the tree, and the tree symbolizes the family tree, the family tree. And then that's the picture on top, and the picture on the bottom is a picture of livestock. You have there a goat, a sheep, a duck, a rooster, a pig, a horse, a cow, a turkey. Everything you would have on an American farm is in that picture right there in the bottom of the page, page two. Now, let me show you how this breaks down. Where it says, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land, that portion applies to the livestock. That portion of the text applies to the animals right there. And then the number of thy days I will fulfill, that applies to the family and the family tree. So the verse speaks of God multiplying your family, God promising to multiply your family and to give your family long life. Then there's the other portion of the text where it talks about how God promises to give your livestock health and fecundity. Fecundity is a fancy word for multiplicity. God is going to multiply your family. God is going to multiply your livestock. Now, if your family grows, like when I was a kid and I was on the farm, I was on the homestead, and every family in my area were all big families. Big families. And there was a reason for that. Most of the families, well, I would say 100% of the families in my hometown and in the adjacent hometowns, there were numerous hometowns, but in my hometown and in all the adjacent hometowns, all the families were Roman Catholic. And the Roman Catholic Church prohibited people from taking birth control. And this is why all the families were big, all of them. All the families were huge. So now, if you have a big family, well, you better have a lot of chickens and a lot of ducks and a lot of turkeys. Better have a lot of goats and sheep and cows. You're going to need milk. You're going to need lots of milk. You're going to need beef. You're going to need to eat meat, all kinds of meat, variation, pork, pig, chicken, turkey, duck, geese, guinea hens, pheasants, fowls, all kinds, rabbits. You have a big family, they eat a lot. Have many mouths to feed. So as the family multiplies, the livestock needs to keep up. And God promises to bless both. Bless you with lots of kids and bless you with lots of livestock. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. Now, let's look at some passages in Scripture just so that I can make this lesson plain to you today. And I want you to go to the book of Job. Let's go to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Now, Job was a man who served God. We know from the Scriptures he served the Lord. And the first part of the text that we've already covered in Exodus 23:25 says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. When you devote yourself to serving the Lord your God, he shall multiply thy bread and multiply thy water and remove sickness from the midst of thee, and he shall bless your livestock, and he shall bless your family. He will cause both livestock and family to increase. So God is adding, and removing what's bad, adding the good and removing what is bad. So let's go to Job chapter 1, Job chapter 1. And I want you to see how the Lord added to Job both in the size of his family and also in the size of his livestock. Job chapter 1, we're going to start reading at verse 1. Job 1, 1. Thus beginneth the reading of God's precious word.
The book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said,
"It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts."
Thus Job did regularly. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan,
"From where do you come?"
"From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it."
"Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?"
"Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face."
"Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person."
So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord.
So there you have it. Here you have a man by the name of Job, and he's got a huge family, 7 sons, 3 daughters. He's got all this livestock. He's the wealthiest man in the East, the greatest man in the East. A house full of servants. When you have 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she donkeys, you got to imagine the acreage that this guy had. Any farmer listening to me knows. I mean, for every 7 sheep that you have, every 7, you better have an acre of land, at least minimum. And even with 1 acre of land per 7 sheep, you're running into trouble. That's not even a good ratio. That's a very slim ratio. I know. I shepherd sheep. So, again, consider all these animals, the land. This guy had to have an incredible amount of acreage to sustain the livestock. So, God has blessed them. God has blessed, as Satan says here, and please notice in verse 10, Satan says, "You've made a hedge of protection around him and about his house. You have, and about every side of his, you have blessed the works of his hands," which means Job worked very hard for everything he had. He was no slouch. He wasn't a lazy man. You can't be a lazy man and have that much livestock. You have to work hard. God will bless the works of your hands. And if your hands have no works, there's nothing for God to bless. You got to get up every morning. You got to put pants on. You got to go to work. You got to put in the time. You got to put in the hours. You have to put in the effort in order for God to bless. God does not bless laziness. He never has and he never will. So Satan says, you have blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So now God gives permission. God says, okay, I've added to him. I'm going to allow you to subtract from him. Go and subtract. So let's read now at verse 13 to see what Satan subtracts.
Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job.
The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.
While he was still speaking, another also came and said,
the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you.
While he was still speaking, another also came.
The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you.
While he was still speaking, another also came.
Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you.
Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped.
Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong.
So Satan was allowed to subtract everything from Job. Lastly, his 10 children. I cannot even imagine, can't even begin to imagine what it is to lose 10 children at one time. None of us reading that text can really wrap our heads around a day, a moment like that, to receive that kind of knock on the door. None of us. And this is what Job experienced. God, the sovereign God, our God, the one who's under his wings we are, permitted it. So now, Job has lost everything, his joy, his children, his future, his family tree, completely cut down, completely gone. No family tree, no children, no daughters to give him grandchildren to carry on the family legacy, completely wiped out. Livestock gone, all of it. Servants slaughtered. All gone. So now, let's see how God blesses Job. Because the Bible says this, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall what? Bless thee. So let's go to chapter 42. Job 42. And we will start reading at verse number 11. Let's start reading at verse 11. Now remember, Job is completely broke. Has lost everything. All of his businesses gone, wiped out. So let's see how God restores Job. Let's see what happens.
Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold.
So now, when God says to Satan, the contest is over, and God turns the captivity of Job. That's the language in verse 10 of chapter 42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Now, people who had stayed away from him, far away, why? Because they thought that Job was bad luck. Stay away from him. You don't want to catch what he's got. But when God turned his circumstances around, people came back to him, and now they started to bring silver and gold, and they began to give him seed money. Each person, each friend, each relative who visited him gave him startup money, some silver and some gold. That's verse 11. His relationships, his family relationships are restored. His brethren, his sisters who had stayed away because they were highly superstitious and wondering, I don't want Job's calamity to extend to my side of the family, to my husband, my spouse, my children. Now they come back. Relationships are restored. Friendships are restored. Now look at verse 12. Now that he's got this seed money, now that he's got this money for a startup business, no doubt he gets to work and God blesses him. Verse 12.
Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren Hapuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job. Their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died, old and full of days.
You see, God says in verse 26, of Exodus 23, to those who serve him, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. In other words, I will cause all of your livestock, all of your animals to be healthy. And they will reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. There will be no stillborn births among your horses, your camels, your goats, your sheep, your cows, your nothing. Nothing will be born stillborn. Nothing. Your animals will be fertile ground. Your animals will, it will be easy for them to get pregnant and easy to multiply. I will bless them. And not just your animals, but you, Job. you will have another 7 sons and another 3 daughters. I will give you another family tree. I will bless you. See, again, serve God, and he will add what you need, and he will take away what you don't need. Serve the Lord. Do like Job did. Go through the fire. Go through the furnace. Go through the trial. But don't curse God. Hang in there. At some point, God will reverse your fortunes. All the people who turned their backs on you will be back. When they come back, God will cause them to give you a blessing. You will take that blessing and get back to work and start doing what you did before. And God will bless your latter end more than your beginning. This is the promise of Exodus 23, 25, and 26. God will bless your camels. He will bless your sheep. He will bless your oxen. He will bless your she donkeys. He will double what you had. Praise be to God. This blessing, this promise in Scripture is repeated again and again and again. And in the book of Job, it is promised, it is bequeathed by God to one man who served him. Here in Exodus 23, it is a promise that God makes to the nation of Israel, his covenant people. Today, God makes the same promise to his church, to individual member. Serve him, and you will be under the shadow of my wings, and I will bless thee and add to thee. I will add what is good, and I will remove what is painful. That is the promise from the Lord. Well, I hope and pray this series has been a blessing to you. And I want to close this broadcast off with a wonderful song. Listen to it. It'll bless you.
Through the night of doubt and sorrow, onward goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. Clear before us through the darkness gleams and burns the guiding light. Brother, clasp the hand of brother, stepping fearless through the of all shadows and the